Good morning. For years, Yirmiyahu HaNavi warned Klal Yisrael that if they did not do tshuva, there would be a churban, there would be a galus, and tremendous, tremendous einshim. And yet, despite nevuah after nevuah, Klal Yisrael, and specifically the people of Anasos, they ignored Yirmiyahu, they scorned him, and at one point, they even tried plotting killing Yirmiyahu HaNavi because of the nevuahs that he was saying. The Navi tells us how Yirmiyahu gave the people of Anasos a terrible curse. And he cursed them, L'chein tenes b'neihem l'rov v'hirgam al yidei cherev. Their children should die of hunger. They should die through war, through swords. The wives should be almanos. Their children should be killed. And again, the Navi goes on and on with tremendous, tremendous kolos. And then Yirmiyahu Navi ends, Al techaperes avayin v'chatosim lefunecha al timchi. Do not forgive the people of Anasos for the terrible averus that they did. And Yirmiyahu Navi ends off, V'yu mukhshalun lefunecha be'ez af. The last klala was, V'yu mukhshalun lefunecha be'ez af. So what does this mean? So the Gemara in Bava Basra writes, Amar Rabba, that it means that afilu b'shah, that they're doing tzedakah, hechshilun b'nei adam she'enu mehuganim. That the curse of being mukhshalun lefunecha be'ez af means that even when they're ready to do tzedakah, when they give money, They should have a nichshol that the people who they're giving to should not be roy. They should be fakers. They should be frauds. This is incredible nevuah. It's starting off with kolos. Their children should be killed. Their husbands should be killed. They should be almanos. They should be terrible, terrible curses. And yet, Yirmiyahu HaNavi wasn't satisfied. He needed to curse that you mukshalim lefanecha be'es af, that they shouldn't have the schus of giving tzedakah. This underscores the chashivus of tzedakah. And perhaps the reason is that Yirmiyahu HaNavi understood that he can give all the klolos in the world. The people of Anasos could have done terrible things. They could have ignored the nevuah. They could have plotted to kill a Navi. But if they had the schus of giving tzedakah properly, none of the other klolos would have been effective. And that's why he ends off these terrible kolos, that they shouldn't have the schus of doing tzedakah properly. Now what this also teaches us is that when a person gives tzedakah, it's not simply enough to have good intentions, you have to get it right. And therefore you view mukshalim lefanecha beis af, if the people of Anasos, even though they would have given money, but it would have gone to the wrong places, it would have gone to people who were not muganim, it would not have given them the hatzalah, wouldn't have given them the schus and the bracha that is there when a person gives tzedakah properly. Now, last week we began the sugya of tzedakah. I'm going to go back just to address a few points that we touched upon briefly last week. We mentioned the mechaber in the beginning of Reish Mem Zayin begins that there is a mitzvah saseh to give tzedakah. Nosan tite and pesayach tiftach, it's mentioned a number of times in the Torah. Now, like every other mitzvah, there's a rule, oisik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. If you're busy doing one mitzvah and another mitzvah pops up, you do not have to stop what you're doing. You can complete the mitzvah that you're in the middle of being oisik in, and you don't have to worry about this new mitzvah. The Gemara applies this to tzedakah as well. If a person is watching in Haveda, he's busy with it, and an ani comes, he does not have to give a pruta to the ani because he's busy doing another mitzvah, oisik mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. Now based on that, if a person is in the middle of davening, and an ani comes around collecting, so here too we would apply the rule of oisik mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, and you do not have to stop what you're doing in order to give a pruta to the ani. Now davening, or most of davening at least, is a derabbanan. But most places can say there's a Magen Avraham in Siman Ayin Beis, and there's a Bikur Yaakov in Siman Tav Resh Mem, and Yeshua's Yaakov in Tav Kuf Pei Vav, I believe, that all say that even by a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we say, oisik mitzvah pater min mitzvah. If you're doing a mitzvah, even if it's a d'rabbanan, and a mitzvah, I say, d'oraisa comes by, Still, you do not have to stop what you're doing. You can, and you oisik mitzvah, pasuk min mitzvah, even though it's only a derabbanan. And not only that, there's a tshuva from the Hesiodorus, a tshuva chelik aleph siman chav beis, where he says even if you're doing part of a mitzvah which is not ma'akev, since it's, as long as you're being oisik and part of this mitzvah, oisik mitzvah applies, and you do not have to stop to do the second mitzvah. Now, based on that, I saw a tshuva that even if a person is in the middle of psukei dezimra, which is certainly derabbanan, it's not ma'akev tefillah. Still, if he's oisik mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, he would not have a chiv to stop and to give tzedakah. Now, what happens if a person is in the middle of learning? Do you have to stop learning if an ani comes, and do you have to give the person money? So, over here by Talmud Torah, we have the concept of oisik mitzvah is applied a little bit differently. The Mechaber in Siman Reish Mem Vav writes that Talmud Torah shoko k'neged kol mitzvahs. The Talmud Torah is the equivalent, it's as important as all the other mitzvahs combined. But nevertheless, how you lefan of asiyas mitzvah Talmud Torah? So if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, or you can learn. So im efshar lemitzvah lehiyas zayidei cheirim, if someone else could do this mitzvah, so then lo yafsik talmudai. Then continue learning, don't stop. Torah is more chashav. However, If this mitzvah cannot be done by anybody else, you are the only person who's capable of doing this mitzvah. So there the halacha is, yaseh ha-mitzvah v'yaseh l'tayrasoi. Then you have to interrupt your learning, do the mitzvah, and then when you finish with the mitzvah, you go back to your learning. Now based on this, Rav Chaim Kanievsky paskin, that if there an ani comes, and he needs money from you now, so the halacha is, you have to be mafsik, you have to stop learning, and you have to give him tzedakah. You do not say oisik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. Now, there, in spite of this, I saw from the Chut Shani, which is Rav Nissen Karelitz, and the Shevet Alevi, both say that an ani should not be walking around the Beis Medrash during Seder. Chut Shani says it's bittul Torah derabim. They both actually say that since the ani could either come before learning, get people on the way in or on the way out, It's considered efshar lasos either aida cheirim or at a different time. It may be more convenient for the ani to come in the middle of seder, but there in that case, the chutzani and the shevet alevi say if it's going to interrupt an entire seder, there it should not be done. It should not be done during learning. Now, as we mentioned last week. It's true. If it's a pikuach nefesh, the person comes into the Beis Medrash and says, I need food now, you should stop and you can give them food. But typically when people are collecting, they're not collecting for lunch today. They're collecting, they have to marry, they have a chasana to make, they have chayvus. It's not an emergency now. But you're 100% correct. If it's something, if a person comes in, emergency, something happened, he needs money immediately, then enachami. Then if it's, that's yafshal asadayi chayrim, you certainly would have a chiv to do it right then and there. But that's typically not the case when people are going around collecting. If you're learning at home and someone knocks on your door, so then it's Isaac. There you would have a chiv to give him. It's true there are many other people he can collect from, but he probably needs money from everybody. On the other hand, if it's in a Beis Medrash, if it's in a Seder, so there the Shevet Halevi and the Chut Shani are both say if it's going to interrupt the whole Tzibur, there then you should wait until either before Seder or after. But if you're learning, They say you shouldn't give because if everyone gives, then the aniyim will come and it'll interrupt the Talmud Torah derabim. But if you're learning at home at night and there's a knock on your door, there you do not say oisik mitzvah patur min mitzvah, and you have a chiv to stop and to give him tzedakah. Now this is all. If he could, great. But usually they don't have the luxury of coming back and forth, and it just can't happen. Now this is all the mitzvahs asay. As we mentioned last week, there is also a mitzvah lois asay, lois amitz as levavcha, lois sik boitz et yadcha. So I saw there's actually an interesting pshat. The smag and the teifus reim is medayik in this in the reim as well. So what's the issue is lois sa'amet es levavcha, don't harden your heart, lois sikbois es yadcha. So Teifas Re'im is, it learns up, it's a big chiddush. He says the issue is you cannot harden your heart. which if you look at the way the Smak says it, when an Ani comes, the person naturally has rachmanos, he feels bad, he wants to help him out, and then he catches himself, no, I don't want to give out the money, I need the money for myself, and he doesn't give the tzedakah. So that's the issur of leisa amitzas levavcha. Zog d'tayvos ra'im, what happens if the person doesn't have a heart? He doesn't feel bad for him at all. So there, the Tayyavis Reim says the Yisr doesn't apply. It's only when you have Rachmanis and you have your heart in your heart not to give, even to overcome your Yetzer Tayyav, if you will, and not to give the money. So there he says it's Lois Amitis Levavcha. But if a person, Bechlal, he's so far gone, he doesn't Bechlal have any Rachmanis, the Tayyavis Reim is Mechadish, you're not over the Lav. Again, it's a big chiddush from the stimus of all of the other rishonim. It's mashma yoyver in all cases. Bal kopana mets the chiddush of the toyifas reim. What? So there, the reim also learns that the case of lasikvot is when you start giving him the money and then you pull back. But if you bichlal never thought of giving him, he's mechadish that you wouldn't have lasikvot. Again, it's a chiddush. I'm not saying this la halacha, but it's an interesting idea. What? Again, if you hold Oitzik Mitzvah Patim in a Mitzvah, so this is really a problem. If you hold Oitzik Mitzvah Patim in a Mitzvah, that's only by Mitzvah Zaseh. If there's an Yisrael Lois Zaseh, how can you say Oitzik Mitzvah Patim in a Mitzvah? So we said there are a few terusim. Some say the Lois Zaseh is totally in the Aseh. You're only over the Lav if there's a Mitzvah to give Tzedak and you don't give it because you're hard in your heart, then you're over a Lav. But in a case where the Mitzvah Zaseh doesn't apply, because it's a rule of Isaac Mitzvah Patim in a Mitzvah, so then the Achrayim explain you won't have the Lav either. That's one of the what's. That's one of the. There are other Patim as well, but that's a Pshat thing that most Achrayim say.
Why is the
fact
that he has such
a Okay, could be. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't think it's l'halacha, but his point is the iser is the act, not what you are. What you are, you have bad midas nebuch, you have bad midas. It's the action that you're doing of, you know, being misgaber on your rachmanos, that's the iser. So if nebuch, the person is so far gone, it's not a milo, but al kopanim will come out, this lav, you'll be over fewer times. Okay, so that's a good question. The Sifri says, Pesach Tiftach Afil Mea Pa'amin, that even 100 times, an Ani comes to you for breakfast, you give him a few dollars, he comes back for lunch, he's hungry again. You can't tell him, I gave you money this morning. The same way you ate breakfast and you were eating lunch again. So if the Ani is now hungry for lunch, he has the right to come back. Now that being said, Al Pi Svara, I haven't found this anywhere, Al Pi Svara, that's only true if in the morning he comes, he's hungry, he needs breakfast. So it's a chiyuv tzedakah. You give him tzedakah food. You give him food. Now comes lunchtime, he's hungry again. He has a new tzairah. So even though you gave him yesterday, paseach tiftach, afilu me'o pa'amim, you have to keep on giving him. On the other hand, what happens if he's not coming for food? Food, Baruch Hashem, has plenty of. He's going ahead. He's marrying off a daughter. And he has chasim expenses. So he comes to you in the morning, he comes to you at night. It's not a new tzairah. The same way if he comes to you in the morning, says, can I have money? You give him whatever your chiyuv is. Then a minute later, okay, can I have again? You tell him, I already gave you, as long as you give the amount that you're supposed to, which we'll discuss in a future share, you gave it. And so as long as if he's coming around a few times in the same day or just day after day for the same tzairuch, avipashas, once you gave him once, you probably do not have a chiyuv to give him again. But if it's a new tzairuch, if he needs food for now, certainly, you certainly would have a chiyuv to give again and again and again. Even with adding a new chiyuv, we'll have to discuss. There's another iser of al tashif da'ach nichlam, which may apply. You may have to give him a prutzo or a mashahu every day, regardless.
Do you make the assumption that he's doing his best to be self-sufficient?
Okay, that's a valid point. We're gonna have an entire shiur about who is roy to be mekabel tzedaka, what the gedorim are, and we'll address that when we during that shiur. Now, there's a very basic question. What we're saying, we've just said, there's a lav of losisam. It's not that if there's an ani and you don't give him tzedaka, you're over nisr lav. We've also pointed out that for Talmud Torah, we don't say Oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, And you have a chiv to stop learning and to go ahead and do the mitzvah if it's e'af shalas as ha'idei achir. Now this leads us to a problem. We all know that right now, as we speak, there are thousands of aniyim out there that need money. Why don't we have a chiv to shut our shulchan aruchs and go out, find the aniyim, and give them what they need? It's a laugh. So what the question really is when does this iser kick in? So over here, there are some very interesting lashonos in the Rishonim. No one really addresses it explicitly, but there are slight, subtle differences in the way Rishonim say over the lav. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in Loisa Sei Reish Lamed Beis says the iser of Loisa Amitz is shloi limnoya tztoko v'harchova mehev yoinim achar shenida choshes inyon. Once you know that a person needs money, he's a nitzruch, there's a lav of loisis amitz. What the Rambam sounds like is that if you know there's an oyin that needs money, if you don't give him stocko, you're over there in iser lav. And the chinuch, the Rishon Letzion, and the Shevet Halevi all follow this approach. Knowing a person needs money is enough for the iser to kick in. The Rambam in Yana Chazaka and Matnas Aniyim uses a little bit of a different language. There he says, "V'chol horoye ani mevakesh v'helam einav b'menu." If you see an ani that's begging and you ignore him, v'leinosan aver b'lav. So the Medayik from the Rambam, really two things. Number one, you have to see the ani, knowing that somewhere out there there's an ani. That's not enough for the Yisr. You have to see him. That's Marie Korkus on the Rambam makes this diak. And others add that the Rambam really says more than that. He doesn't just say that you see the ani. You walk by a person in the street, you know that he happens to be poor. What the Rambam says, you see roya ani muvakish. You see that the ani is begging. When you see him and he's actively asking for money, there the iser of loisis amitz would apply. However, it's meduyik in the Rambam that if you don't see him, even though you know somewhere out there there's an ani, or even if you do see him, but he's not actively asking people for money, he's not begging, there the Rambam sounds like you're not over. And the Rambam's lashon is, you see him, you see that he's asking for money. The Rajba in Shvuas Daf Kafe uses a bit of a stronger language. He says that you're not over in the lav unless the ani shoyel mimenu. The ani actually has to approach you and ask you for money. There, ignoring his request and saying no to him, rejecting him, that's where the iser of loisis amitz will apply. But the Rajba sounds like if he doesn't specifically ask you, there he won't be over the iser. Now, where the shiloh comes up all the time, the person is in shul and he's sitting in the middle of the table, and there's an ani. He's walking up and down the aisles. So as he walks up the aisle on the right side, the person sort of like shifts over a little bit, and he's on the left side of the table. When the ani comes around the other way on the left side of the table, so by then the person shifted over, he's on the right side. So can you say the ani never asked me? So according to the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, where as long as you know there's an ani, that's certainly not going to be a hetzer. According to the Rambam Yad HaChazaka, who says you need to see Roya es ha'ani mevakish, you have to see him begging. The Rambam doesn't say that the ani has to ask you. You just have to see him begging, so then clearly whether or not you're on the right side of the table, the left side of the table, the bottom line is you see him walking up and down the aisles. According to the Rambam, clearly there would be an issue. It could be in the Rajba, you can be medayik, there wouldn't be. Because there he says the ani has to be shoyel mimenu, you have to ask from him. But it's difficult to be samech on this Rajba, because the Rajba firzois, he says you're only over when the ani asks you. But you're not mechuyev to go to Madai, to go to some foreign country to find the aniyim. So the Rajba goes from one extreme to another. You're only over when he asks you. But you have no chiyev to chase, to travel overseas to find an ani to give it to. That sounds like you're not mechuyev to go overseas. But if he's local, and certainly if he's right next to you, there even the Rajba sounds like there would be a chiyev. What? No, he's saying in general. He's saying the chiyev tztaka is only when there's an ani that comes to you to ask. Masha ein kein, if there's no one asking you, the fact that you can travel to Madai and find an ani doesn't mean that you're over an iser. So the so the Pelo Yoyitz Taka speaks out that when you see when there's an ani in shul, you know, begging, he has his pushkar, he has his can. He says that everyone in shul is mechuyev on their way out to give him at least a pruta, to give him something, because that's enough. He's considered being mavakish from the entire shul, and again, sliding over from one side is not going to help you. You may have the p'tor of oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. That's if you're busy davening. As we mentioned last week, if while you're davening, you're busy texting, you're not going to have this answer. But I'll call about him, whether or not he actually, you know, looks at you in the eye and asks, it seems would not make a difference if he's here, he's asking, and everyone in shul would have a chiv to give him at least a pruta. The same thing would apply if the ayin knocks on your door. So you have a very nice mahalach over here. If you open the door and he asks you and you say no, so he's mavakish, that's awesome. If you don't let him in the door, he was never mavakish from you. But again, it's clear, it's the Lashon HaRambam of raw mavakish, once you see that he's going around begging, that l'chay would be enough to be over to for the Yisr to kick in. No, I don't think the person could be. It's closer to the say. It's not the amount of his need. He can be a tremendous nitzroch. The point is, it's not my achrayus kol zman he's in mode. I certainly don't have to chase him down to find him. Now again, it's certainly a mitzvah. We'll get to later on that someone who doesn't want to accept stucco, there's a mitzvah to go ahead and find out ways to get it to him. But the iser, you're not going to be over until it falls into your lap. Oh, okay, there it goes. Let me address it. What about it? What happens if the Ani himself doesn't come to you? He sends a shliach or a gabbai tztaka. Okay, letters we'll get to in a minute. But as far as a shliach like this, there's a tshuva from the Kollel Yochel Beis Simin Yud Tes where he says shliach shlo don kemoisa. Just like if the Ani comes to you, Nebuch, and the Ani is sick in bed, he can't come around. He can send a shliach and call it Tayr Kula. We find shliach shlo don kemoisa. Now, I saw a beautiful raya from this, from the Meshav HaLacha, I think Rabbi Tauber, from Mechon Leiro, wrote. And what he writes is that the Rambam writes that Pidyon Shvuyin, that we'll see later on, is one of the highest forms of tzedakah. Someone's captured, he needs to be rescued. And the Rambam says that someone who is Ma'alim Enoi, he knows there's a captive and he doesn't help out, the Rambam has a whole list of things that you're over. One of the Isurim that you're over is this Isur of Lo Yisus Hametz. Now, if a person is captured, he's in jail, he's not coming to you directly and asking for ransom. He's in jail. He's stuck. He can't get to you. And nevertheless, the Rambam says, the Yisur of Lo Yisus Hametz applies. So Vayistayis, if he sends a shliach, or if there's someone who's munah from a bezdin, he's in charge of collecting the tzedakah. So even though it's a shliach, it's not done personally, the Yisur would still apply. Now that's a case of shlichus. And or either shlichus or where there is a somebody who's nismanet from the bezner from the kehillah to take care of these aniyim. Yesh lodoin, in a case where a person decides he's going to open up an organization, he's going to raise money and give it to aniyim. So in that case, I don't know if he's acting as a shliach for any particular, or even for the set of aniyim. He on his own, and he's not acting on behalf of the kehillah. He wasn't appointed by the bezdin. It's just, you know, one of many organizations. So there, it could be this halacha would not apply. But if he's sent, he's acting as a shliach of the ani. There, the haskamas apayis seems to be that there would be an iser. So as far as the amounts, we'll discuss later. But if you think about it, in most cases, when a person's getting paid a commission, what's really happening? He's collecting all of the money for this ani. The ani is paying him to collect it for him. And they're paying him, but it may be a flat amount, and it may be based on a percentage that he's earning. But either way, the pshat is not he's asking you, give me 50 cents, give the ani 50 cents. He's saying, give the ani a dollar, and then the ani is hired him to do this work. So I don't think it would change, it would take away the iser. We will see there is a discussion there, there were takanos, about how much the person collecting could take for himself. In reality, what's also usually true is the person collecting, even though he may not be in quite as bad shape as the ani, very often the person collecting would qualify as an ani as well. Again, obviously it depends on the case, but as we'll see, to qualify as an ani is unfortunately not that difficult.
The three people outside of the question,
If they're begging and they're aniyim, you have a chiyuv to give them. Yes. Now, as far as when you get letters in the mail, so there, the haskama, you know, from many of the achroinim, you know, is that you do not have a chiyuv to respond to the letters. I've heard different svaras. I'm not exactly sure which is the ikur. There's an argument that when you get a letter in the mail, you have no idea who it's going to. There's a greater chashash that it's a ramai. Therefore, perhaps there's no chiyuv. And there's also makom to say that if someone does a mass mailing, and so it's true the money or some of it will go to an ani, but it's not the same thing as the ani personally coming and being mavakish from you. It's just a mass mailing usually done by a third party, and it may be a yediyah. You may know now that there's an ani if you trust it, but it's not the same as the ani personally coming to you and asking for the money. Now, there is another iser, another lav, which very often will apply, and that is, besides the iser of loisus amitz, of not giving, there's an iser of al yera levavcha, even when you do give, if you give with panim zayafais, if you give with a little snarl, okay, take it and get out of here, there's a separate iser, there's a chiv to give it to give it besimcha, and not to make the oni feel bad about accepting it. That is machlokes, whether this is a separate mitzvah, whether this is a t'nai in the mitzvah of tzedakah, and that we'll get to in a future shiur. Now let's continue on to Siman Reish Mem Ches. The Mechaber begins, Kol Adam Chayiv Litein Tzedakah. Everyone is obligated to give tzedakah. Afilu Ani HaMispanis Menat Tzedakah. Even in Ani, that he himself is accepting tzedakah, Chayiv Litein Mimashi Yitnu Lam. He has a chiv to take out from the money that he's being given and give it to another ani. Now, it is interesting. There's the chinuch when he brings down this halacha, says even an ani is chayiv to give to someone who's lamata mimenu. No matter how bad off he is, he'll find someone else who's in worse straits than him, and he has a chiv tzedakah to give him at least something. There's machlokes what this means, how much tzedakah such a person is mechuyev to give. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Nachlas Tzvi both learn that as we'll see in one of the future simanim, there's a minimum amount that a person has to give for tzedakah each year. This amount is a shlishis hashekel, it's a third of a shekel. It comes out to slightly less than a quarter of an ounce of silver, which over a year is not very much money. I don't know, it's $7, $8. I don't know what the price of silver is today. But that's the minimum you have to give over the year. So the Aruch HaShulchan and Nachlas Tzvi learn that even an ani who's being supported by tzedakah has this chiyuv, he has to give at least this minimal amount to another ani. Shach has a different shot. The Shach learns that the ani over here is not talking about someone who's starving to death. It means he has money, but still he doesn't have enough. He still is considered an ani that he's allowed to accept tzedakah. But since he does have money, he is able to live, he has a chiv to give to another ani. And again, we'll discuss that again in a future share about when we talk about the qualifications of an ani, at what point is a person allowed to take tzedakah, that will be for in a future share.
Does somebody who has a credit line and another person has no credit line, no way to borrow, does that make the second person a bigger ani because he has no way to borrow?
Bigger ani is... Although the lashon of the chinuch is the ani has to give to another ani who's worse off than him. I don't know if it's dafka. If you look at the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, he says that even an ani has a chiv to give to someone who's lamata oy hadoymaloy. So if he's on the same level, you also have to give him tzedakah. You know, in halacha lemaisa, you'll almost always find someone who's in as bad a shape or worse shape than you are. I don't know whether the ability to borrow and pay interest when a person has no money to pay it back anyway, I don't know if that's really, 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 really a milah. Oh, okay, very good. So when we deal with these, we'll get back to that. So the Mechaber continues, that umisha noisin poiches mimasha roi litzein, if someone gives less tzedakah than he's supposed to, notice he gives tzedakah, but based on the rules that we'll learn in the future, it's less than his obligation. The halacha is, Bezdin hayu kaifin oisai, Bezdin would force him to give the appropriate amount of tzedakah. Umakan oisai makas marjus, they would hit him, acha yitain, masham du litain, until he gave the right amount. And if that didn't work, the yardin and chasav b'fanav, Bezdin was able to seize his assets. Loichin mimenu masharoy loilitain. And they can take, if he doesn't give it willingly, they can take it from him by force. Now this halacha is a chiddush. There's a general rule that a mitzvah say shema anscharo b'tzidoi. If there's a mitzvah say where the Torah says what the reward is, Bezdin does not force you. And over here, the Torah does say l'mani v'recha that the discuss the mitzvah of tzedakah, there'll be tremendous bracha. But the way the Shach and the way the Rishonim explain is since there is a lav over here, Bezdin can force a person to give tzedakah because of the Yisrael, because of the lav. Now there is another diuk, which is an interesting machlokes. What the Mechaber says, Bezdin is yardin l'nechasav b'fanov. Bezdin can seize his assets in front of him. So Bach learns that he can seize the assets in front of him, or shalai kol shkein shalai b'fanov. Bezdin has the right to grab the person's money to give the tzedakah that he is obligated to give. Now, what this sounds like, what Machan Ephraim learns from here, a very mechidish. What he learns is the chiyuv tzedakah is not just a mitzvah. Because there is a chiyuv tzedakah, because there's a mitzvah, that creates a shibud nechasim. You now owe the money to tzedakah. Now you don't owe it to a specific ani. It's mamon hashevet, not really a shevet. It's to the class of aniyim. But the person actually has a choyv mamon to give the tzedakah. And the tzayis writes, if a person makes a neder, he's going to give tzedakah, and then he dies. So normally, if a person makes a neder and then he dies, his children don't have to listen to the neder. He made the neder, not the children. However, if you hold that when a person makes a neder, when a person has a chiyuv tzedakah, that creates a choyv or shibud haguf, then even if he dies, the shibud haguf still exists. Once it's chal, it's chal. And therefore, the bezdin can come and take the assets away from the yarshim because it's not theirs; it's owed, it's meshubit to the aniyim, and bezdin can go ahead and they can actually collect these assets. Now, based on this, the Machane Ephraim suggests that what happens if a person has a chiyuv tzedakah, and to make the case better, let's say there's an ani. This ani has an uncle, his rich uncle. Now, the rich uncle has a chiyuv to give tzedakah; he has a chiyuv to help support his nephew. And according to some Paiskim, again, it's Machlokes, we'll discuss later, it could be Bezdin could even force you to support your relatives that are aniyim. Now this rich uncle is a miser. He's stingy, he doesn't want to give any tzedakah. So the nephew walks into the uncle's house, finds his wallet, and grabs money. So Zaka Machan Ephraim, it could be once he's typhus, he can keep it. Because if you hold the mitzvah, the chiv tzedakah is just a mitzvah. So Bezdin can force people to do mitzvahs. You can't go ahead and force other people to do a mitzvah. So if it's just a mitzvah, you'll have to give it back. Ma'ishengen, if you learn, like this tzad, that the chiyuv tzedakah creates a shibud nechasim that you actually owe the money. So if you owe someone money and he grabs it from you, the halacha is, once he's toifus, once he grabs it, you can't take it away. Therefore, Machan Ephraim suggests that according to these shitos, if an ani grabs money from someone who's mechuyev to give it, the usher, he doesn't have to give it back. Now again, it'll end up being machloikis. It wouldn't be mutter to do it because there are a bunch of machloikism that involved. But if he does grab it, it's very the tzedakah mishpat suggests that a bezin will not be able to force him to pay it back. Now, this is a case where you just grab money from the person. In a case where the usher was already mafresh money, he takes $1,000, and he puts it aside, this is tzedakah money. Once he does that, the money doesn't belong to him anymore. It's tzedakah money. He has a teves hanah. He has the right to choose who to give it to, but it's not his money anymore. In that case, if you've already been mafresh, if you've already set aside money for aniyim, and the next day an ani breaks into your house and grabs the money, there, l'kulei alma, he wouldn't have to pay it back. Because we paskin teves hanah is not money, it can't be recovered. And if the ani grabs it, even though the usher says, I want to give it to this tzedakah, I want to give it to that tzedakah, but the bottom line is it's not his, he will not be able to moitzi it from the ani. Now most places can learn that this halacha of koifin is dafka b'fanov. They learn that there is no regular shibud mamon, it's just a mitzvah. Because it's a mitzvah, Bezdin has the right in front of you to seize your assets, the same way they can be makir him, they can hit him until they do the mitzvah. The malik, so they can go ahead and they can grab his money as well. But if the person is not around, then they do not have the right to grab the assets to force them to do the mitzvah.
Is this only when the bezel is already in motion and they pay a certain
amount of money? Correct. This is a given where there's the given is how much he has to give, that he didn't give that much, and therefore we're forcing him to do that amount. Correct. Now the Arugas Abayim has a beautiful pshat over here. He says, you know what? He's medayik l'mechaber kipshutoi. The bezin can only grab the assets when the person's in front of him. The person moves out of town for a few weeks. You can't go ahead and force him to give tzedakah. Zokta Arugas Abayim, beautiful pshat. We asked before, how can bezin force you to give tzedakah? It's mitzvah saseh shema'an tzchara b'tzida. What was the answer? The answer is, it's true. The mitzvahs say you can't force. But there's a lav also. When there's a lav, Bezin can force you to not be over a lav. But what did we talk about earlier? When does the lav kick in? So we said, according to many poskim, the lav only applies when the ani is there asking you for money. Saying no is you're over the lav. But the fact that there's an ani around, if he's not here asking you, there's no issue. Zokei Rugos HaBoisim, it comes out beautifully. If the person's in front of you, any of the ani or bezdin is saying, we need this amount of money for tzedakah, and the person says no, there's a lav. There's a lav, bezdin can be koifa, give maka, and they can take away, they can force him to pay. Ma'ashengin if tshloi b'fonav, the person jets off to Eretz Yisrael for a couple of months. So even though he did it because he wants to get out, he knows that there are niyam, but it's only the fact that he knows there are niyam doesn't create the lav. The lav is on the aniyam are asking him. Since he's not here, they're obviously not asking him, and there's no lav, and that's why Bezin cannot force him to give tzedakah. So let's go on to the next halacha. We'll skip to Sif Dalid. Now, anyone who's been here for the past two shiurim have been complaining that there were too many chumros in Hilchos Tzedakah. So here we're going to go through a halacha which may save you a lot of money. You're sure? We may not get to the cool of it. Okay, well. Mm-hmm. If there's six different aniyim, the fact that they all decided that instead of each of us paying the driver, we'll all chip in and pay the driver. We all pay 1/6 of the cost of the driver. It seems to be a milo, not a chasaron. Also, this way they all come to me at one time instead of every 15 minutes. At least it's one after another. You get it over with. Okay, if they're not mugu, there's no chiv to give aniyim she'ena mehuganim. We'll deal with that. There's a gemara that talks about a ramai of machzik toiv l'ramoim. When we get to that gemara, we'll discuss. It's not very clear, but it's how quickly you can jump to conclusions. But that we'll have to put aside. Again, Hilchos Tzedakah is rather long, so we're trying to go simon by simon. We're going to have to deflect that until later. So let's do Sif Dalit. Gabay Tzedakah ein mekablim. Mehanoshim avodu mitinoikus. A gabbai tzedakah is not allowed to accept tzedakah from women, slaves, or children. Elo davar mu'ur, only a small amount. Avlo davar gadol, not a large amount. Sheches kosoi gozol oigonim shal achedim. You cannot accept a large donation from a child, from a woman, or from a slave. Because the chazaka is, where did they get a hold of this money? It must have been stolen from someone else. That's why they're being so generous. And therefore, even though the gabbai doesn't know for sure, because there's a chazaka that it's stolen, he cannot accept it. He can't take it. What does it mean? You're allowed to, a small donation you're allowed to accept. What is the definition of a small donation? So says, it depends on the place. Depends on how wealthy the person is. The Gemara says, in Anshe Mechuza, when the gabbai tzedakah came, the ladies used to give golden chains to the gabbai tzedakah. Gemara asks, how could he accept a golden chain from a lady? That's a namatana maruba. So Gemara says, for the Ein Shem Chuzah, that was called a davar muat. That was insignificant. What's a gold chain anyway? And you're able to accept it. So hakolufi amokim vazman. But the mechaber is paskening that a gabbai tzedakah cannot accept a donation from a woman, only a davar muat, only an insignificant amount that people are not makbidah. Now, based on this, chayra, if your wife goes to a Chinese auction or to any of these tzedakah parties, her halacha should be, is that she shouldn't be able to give the tzedakah. And if she does, the gabbai should have to refund it. He has no right to accept a matana meruba from a woman. Now, obviously, you have to define what matana meruba is. It could be a $10 or $18 donation. It could be today would be considered matana mu'ete, something their husbands are not makbid on. But yesh ladoin, at what point a gabbai tzedakah is allowed to accept a donation from a lady? So over here, the poskim speak out a number of limitations to this halacha. The first is the Yamshel Shloime brings down from the Ravon that this was all back then when the ladies had no access to money. The ladies stayed at home. The husband ran the affairs of the house. And therefore, just like if a child comes and gives a $1,000 donation, you have to start questioning it. How does a child come onto this money? So a lady giving it has the same issue, the same chazaka that it's stolen. However, today, where the ladies are very often, they're the ones that run the house, they're the ones that are in charge of the money, very often they're working and they're earning part of the money. There the Amishal Shlomo says, it's not so pasha. And if the woman is in charge, she's making decisions, the same way she can go to a store and decide what to buy. So very often she also has the discretion to give tzedakah as well, even if it is a matana meruba. The Aruch HaShulchan actually says, that if the woman, there are shittas that hold, that if the woman is the one that's supporting the family, you don't say Masha Kana Isha Kana Baila. Now, Lalocha, we do not pass like this. This is the Mishnah Melech in Isha Simen Chav Aleph, Perek Chav Aleph. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, Le'inyin Stalker, you can be Simechan. And therefore, you don't have to get his okay at all if she is the one that's making the money. On the other hand, the Shevet HaLevi, and his Medayik, it's Kantma Furish in the Yamshel Shlomo, he says that's not pshat in this Ravon. The Pshat, if you look at the Yamshel Shlomo, he says like this. He says that if she's making the money, so if it's not kedai for him to start up with her that he's giving too much tzedakah, because he has to be on her good side. If she gets angry, she'll just stop making the money. But he says it's clear that if he has a kpeido, he has the right to say, I don't want to give it. But he's just saying there's an assumption that if she is the one who's running everything, then in all, very often she will have the authority to give a matana meruba. So in such a case, if the woman is the one that's making the money, or there are shirim, in such a case, the lady would have the right to give the tzedakah. There's a tshuva from Maran Min Simin Zayin that has another chiddush. He says that he talks about a case where a lady wants to give tzedakah to her relatives. So there he says that the husband cannot object. He says there's a halacha of whenever a woman wants to do something which is normal and you, by stopping her, she'll be mantel shemra b'shchunah. All the neighbors will say she's stingy, she's a good for nothing, she doesn't give tzedakah like everybody else. So there the Maran Min says that she would have the right to do it. So whatever you have to give, because this is a social norm within these circles, to give, this is a minimum amount, and less than that, you're going to be looked at as being especially stingy. So then you have this Maran Min, and you have the Rav Palam as well, that say they have the right to force it. Now the Chalkas Yaakov was asked about these Chinese auctions, or these tzedakah parties. So there he has a few heterim. He starts with Maran Min, that if the woman is coming in and just giving the amount that you need, that's just the minimum which is socially acceptable, he says you would have this cheshbon. Then he says, he brings down the Gemara, that Anshei Mechuzah, they were so wealthy that even the golden chains was Matana Muetis. So he writes, the Anshei New York or Mistama were not less Ashirim than the Anshei Mechuzah, and therefore he says it's Mutter. And this truva was written a long time ago. Unfortunately, since then, I think the Anshei New York, their Ashiras has gone down. The price of gold jewelry has gone up. So I think if a lady's giving out her gold jewelry, it's Mestama, not so Pasha today. But Chalos Yaakov has another Heter. He says, if you sent out an invitation, he says, Mestama, the husband, saw the invitation. He knew good and well where his wife was going. So he had an opportunity to give her instructions and tell her what to do and what not to do. Certainly in a case, and many Achroidim say, if a woman says, I'm authorized to give this, she has nemanos, we say, you don't have to presume that she's lying. So in such a case, if she says explicitly, I'm allowed to do it, you can accept it, you don't have to question her. But even so, in such a case where the husband knows where his wife is going, the Chalkas Yaakov says it would be fine because you can assume that he knows where he's going, he knows it's going to cost him, and he was okay with it. I was talking to a chaver of mine, who is a practicing rabbi, And I was discussing the Shaila, and he said, I think only partially in jest, that today he holds a husband cannot stop a lady from going to these parties or these events and giving tzedakah. It is a lot cheaper than paying for therapy. So again, I don't know, la locha, not la locha, but lady boy, if it's a reasonable amount or if the husband knows where she is, then she has the right to give it. There was a story, this is a chaver of mine, his grandmother was a tremendous, you know, Nediv Lev always gave tzedakah, and at one point she gave away her jewelry to Aniyim. Her husband found out and was very upset, and brought the Gabbai tzedakah to a Din Torah, and he won. She had to return the jewelry because it was clearly done without the husband's consent. It was a matana, it was matana meruba. It was a lot of money for them, and they had to give it back. This halacha does apply, but in general, if it's a more moderate amount, if it's a case where based on circumstances she's probably authorized, that would be mutar al pi halacha.